Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now up to one of the last parshiot of the year. It is Parshat Ki Tavo, certainly the last big parsha. There is a lot packed into this week's parsha. But before we begin, I just want to mention that tonight's learning is sponsored Zecher L'Nishmat Rebetzin Chava Sara Luban, a commemoration of her 19th yard site. So tonight's learning is for her Zecher L'Har Neshama. All right, let us get started. Towards the end of this week's parsha, there's a strange pasuk. It's actually quite strange. I might not be able to do it justice, but I'll do my best. All right, it says, "V'hayak asher sas Hashem aleichem lehativ etchem u'harbot etchem kein yasis Hashem aleichem lehavir etchem u'lashmir etchem." And when Hashem will be fervent upon you to do good to you and to make you many, so too he will be fervent. I'm using the word fervent on purpose because you can translate it as rejoicing, but I'll explain it what fervent means in a minute if you don't know. He'll be fervent upon you to make you lost and to destroy you. Now, the word translated here as fervent or passionate is a word very frequently seen by weddings. The root is sas, which we usually translate as rejoice or being joyful. So this root is almost always associated with like saslon v'simcha, right? We connect it with great joy and great simcha. So why is it here used to show Hashem's quote-unquote enthusiasm for bestowing us with good, but also for providing us with calamities and misery? Let's reread it with that question of if we were to read it as joy. And when Hashem will be joyous towards you to do good to you and to make you many, so too he will be joyous upon you to make you lost and to destroy you. Now that sounds terrible, right? The first half, not so much. But like the second half, like, I understand that Hashem would be joyous to, you know, bless us and to give us things, but why would he be joyous? Why would he rejoice in any capacity to do harm to us or to do things that we might perceive as evil or bad? So Rashi, citing Masechet Megillah, explains that it's not Hashem that will be enthusiastic, but that he will make our enemies elated and excited and joyful to do harm and destroy us, meaning by proxy, right? Not that Hashem would never rejoice in anybody's downfall, not even the wicked's downfall, but certainly not ours. But he will cause it that there will be joy, albeit through our enemies, right? That they will not destroy us so much as a threat, but they will delight in harming us in almost like a sadistic manner. But it's still a very interesting choice of words and does connote certain intense emotion, even though Hashem doesn't truly actually have emotions, but it's put in an anthropomorphic way that we can understand. Now, the word yasis, he will rejoice, which is the second usage of this root, is numerically the same as the word keter, which means crown, as well as kare, which means, or kares, which means spiritual excursion, or the language for cutting. One of the greatest emotions that one experiences, or enthusiasm, is when you see a king that's crowned, or if somebody's crowned kings themselves. That is one of the greatest pinnacles things, like to see a king as coronation, especially back when a king had power, was one of the greatest things. But one of the greatest despairs or losses in life is when you are distanced or torn from those you are with, whether it's in a spiritual way or in a physical way. When things are cut away from you, especially if it's abruptly, that's one of the most painful things. Now, on the Gal Einai website, through one of the responses on inner.org, it quotes the following. The Alter Rebbe explains the meaning of kares in the end of his chapter 5 of Gerita Tshuva, that kares means to sever. Sever, S-E-V-E-R, to basically to cut or to, you know, break apart. It signifies the cutting off of the consciousness of the soul present in the body from its superconscious source, which is always at one with God. Nonetheless, however, it is always possible to do teshuva and to reconnect with a stronger bond even than before, hence the concept of Bali Tshuva, which is the finite dimension of the soul as infinite source. The soul then arouses from afar the estranged finite consciousness of the soul's reflection in the physical body to do tshuva. If in a certain lifetime the soul does not merit to do tshuva, it will have to be reincarnated in one form or another until it achieves its rectification. Now, often, through reincarnation in a lower form of life or even an inanimate object can suffice to achieve certain types of rectification, for the soul's inability to choose is in itself spiritual imprisonment which counteracts the wrong choices of a previous lifetime. There's a lot to unpack there, and we're mostly not going to delve into it. But we see that kares is not something to be taken lightly, right? It creates some sort of blemish or division in the soul, which allows it to
kind of discontinued from its mission in a sense, which again can be repaired through tshuva. But if tshuva is not done, then it has to be rectified in another lifetime. The Gemara explains kares as a person or perhaps a person's children dying before their time. Either way, kares is not good. But if you invert it to keter, a crown, it's the highest of the highest. We also know it's the highest or perhaps solely above all of the spherot, the mystical manifestations. Kares is a permutation of keter. And keter is like the greatest possible level of the soul, as the author ever explains, whose inner dimension is equivalent to the soul's root above. And it's almost on the level of Hashem and is united with Hashem. But kares blemishes this keter and transforms it from something which is majestic and magical and amazing to something which is now severed of its power and is not as connected to Hashem or connected to Hashem's will. But the inner dimension of the soul is always going to be connected. The inner dimension of an neshama is always going to be connected to Hashem because the neshama is part of Hashem. Really, everything's part of Hashem, but certainly an neshama. So this helps perhaps answer the question. It's not a full answer of the question, but what does it mean that Hashem will rejoice? We can actually look at this permutation of keter and kares that Hashem provides us with both sides. So on one hand, you know, we can do the rejoicing or our enemies can do the rejoicing. But it can also be that it's not a matter of rejoicing per se, but the rejoicing is a connection of it's rejoicing, right? Recreating that joy. Hashem will, in a sense, this is a play on words in English, but I think it works as well in Hebrew, that Hashem will have to create in a certain sense. Sas is also related to the word shesh, which means linen, as well as the number six, which means a connection. There's an interweaving, there's an interconnection that's needed. And somebody who commits a veira is certainly something which warrants kares, and somebody who separates themselves from Hashem and the Torah, or does not lead a proper life, needs to be reconnected, usually through the process of reincarnation or something else in the next life. So in a certain sense, the rejoicing is almost like a rejoining. There's a rethreading, a reconnecting that's necessary. So it's not a rejoice from a sense of happiness, but it's happiness in the sense that even no matter how bad we are, even if we are chas v'shalom cursed or, you know, bad things befall us, it's not the end because there's always going to be a rejoicing. There's always going to be a new opportunity for joy. There's always going to be a new opportunity to connect. We're going to have a new life where new things can happen, and ultimately the soul can be purified and reconnected with Hashem in this way. And we can then merit future blessings, either in this world or the next world. Now, as we finish Elul and approach Rosh Hashanah, we ask for Teshuvah, and we prepare to accept Hashem's Malchut. Right? We just entered the second half of Elul, and we're going to be starting to say Slichos soon, which I had to get myself mentally prepared for. But we hope to become closer to Hashem through this process, and we want to reach not only stay away from the kares, but we want to reach this keter, the highest level we can possibly reach on whatever level we can potentially relate to it. We want to enter a year of enthusiasm and joy and to be able to rejoice in the true sense of the word of Hashem's bestowal of blessing. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.